This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Charlie Allison, who is a board member of the Washington County Historical Society. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I don't think I've ever begun an interview by commenting about someone's hair, but you have longer hair than usual because...
We've got a historical reenactment from the Civil War coming up, and since I was serving on this committee to help organize the commemoration, I figured I probably ought to do my best to fit in with the reenactors, and the only thing I knew how to do was let my hair grow.
This reenactment is marking the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Fayetteville.
Right. April 18th, 1863, Fayetteville saw its own battle between Union and Confederate forces. Looking back 150 years and trying to make sense of that, we felt like it was a good point in time to do some kind of commemoration each year, but we figured this year was a good year to really try to get people in to hear about it and understand the significance it had on this area.
Fortunately for the people involved in the Battle of Fayetteville, it did not have nearly the loss of life of Prairie Grove or Pea Ridge. But still, both sides were there.
Right. It was a much smaller battle than either of those. On the other hand, it was very significant to Fayetteville. There were probably about 10 to a dozen Union soldiers killed, somewhere between 20 and 30 Confederate soldiers killed. Forces totaling probably 1,400, 1,500 when you add the Union and Confederate troops together. So it wasn't without some significance, but certainly not as big as Prairie Grove or Pea Ridge.
Fayetteville, before the battle, was it controlled by either Union or Confederate forces?
Yeah, Prairie Grove battle had happened in December, and the Union had held sway on it. Confederates had retreated south of the Arkansas River. And so the Union troops basically made Fayetteville sort of their western outpost at that point, and had occupied Fayetteville, had recruited troops, and so had Arkansas infantry companies, Arkansas cavalry companies, an artillery company. So they'd pretty much tried to make this as much an outpost as possible. They'd built up some supplies and arsenal. So they were hoping to make this a place where they could stay for a while.
Were they headquartered at the headquarters house?
Yeah, Union troops were headquartered in what is now known as the headquarters house. It was the Tebbets house at that time. The Tebbets had left Fayetteville in the middle of the war to safer places north. Jonas Tebbets had been a staunch Unionist and as a result didn't feel very safe about his life. And so he got out of here with his family, as a lot of Union sympathetic families did.
So Dixon Street existed?
As a road, I don't think it had been technically named Dixon Street at that point, but yeah, it existed as a road. What we know as College Avenue existed as a road. In fact, it was named for the college that had been standing real close to the corner of Dixon and College. So that's how College Avenue got its name. The college itself had been burned down before this battle, but it was at the center of the battlefield.
In that intersection, which is now Dixon College, was that the epicenter of the battle?
Certainly the hottest part of the battle. It stretched, the Union line stretched from that corner eastward probably to about where Mission and Lafayette intersect now. And then it stretched down College Avenue, almost probably to Rock Street, somewhere along in there.
I have been told in the past that Union soldiers slept or camped about where there is now an auto zone.
Right. And probably all along those two blocks there, in between Dixon and Maple. Some of them were moved to the far side of Mount Nord to sort of keep them out of the way of battle. Many of the Union soldiers had not been issued firearms yet, so they were effectively removed from the battlefield just for their own safety. And probably the safety of their fellow soldiers.
The Tibbetts House, now called the Headquarters House, was there. Were there other? Was this a residential area where the battle was taking place?
It would not be what planners would call right. Thick infill, but yes, it was residential. Right across the street from Headquarters House was another house that looked almost exactly like it, because it was both of them were built by the same person, and it was the Baxter House. And the Baxter House received most of the destructive elements of the war. I think the Confederates, who were firing artillery from what's now called Mount Sequoia, were aiming at Baxter House, thinking that they were shooting at the Tibbetts House. And so there was a good amount of damage done to the Baxter House, some to the Headquarters House. There's still bullet holes in one of the doors at Headquarters House. And so there were a good number of houses in that area.
So the Confederate forces were on top of what we call Mount Sequoia now?
They moved their artillery up there.
Okay.
The biggest number of them, the infantry and cavalry, were down in the hollow in between. And they'd come up from the south side of Fayetteville and just come up the hollow before daybreak even. And tried to charge from out of that hollow up onto the ridge. And partly because the Union had better firearms, better guns, longer, you know, distance to be able to shoot, they were able to repel the Confederates on two different charges sort of at that intersection.
So Fayetteville remained in Union hands?
It did. Sadly, or I guess for if you're a Union sympathetic person, they decided, though, after the battle that maybe they couldn't hold Fayetteville at this point. They were so far away from supply lines that the Union officer in charge, Marcus LaRue Harrison, contacted, you know, St. Louis and said, do we stay? Are you going to supply us? Are you going to, you know, provide us what we need? Or should we withdraw? The Union said, go ahead and withdraw to Springfield, Missouri. So in essence, they won the battle, but then turned over the town to whatever the Confederates wanted to do after that. Mm. And eventually the Confederates did come back in and occupy the town for a period and use Headquarters House as their headquarters. Hmm.
Hence the name.
Yes.
You mentioned that he contacted St. Louis. I guess you send a rider?
No. At that time, there was still a telegraph.
Okay.
From Fayetteville up through Springfield. It was a difficult task to keep it operating. Both sides were cutting it down whenever it, you know, was to their advantage. But it wasn't too hard to put back up and tie the lines back together again or string new ones.
Would that go along what we now call Old Wire Road?
Right. Exactly. And that's how Old Wire Road got its name.
That was the telegraph line.
Yeah.
Charlie Allison is on the board of directors for the Washington County Historical Society. The Society's commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Fayetteville begins Thursday night with a lecture by Kim Allen Scott at the First Christian Church in Fayetteville, a church standing now at what was very near the epicenter of the battle 150 years ago. That event is free and open to the public.
Friday night from 6 until 9, there will be candlelight tours of the headquarters grounds at 118 East Dixon. There is a $5 charge for adults, $3 charge for children over 11, and those under 11 are admitted for free.
And Saturday from 10 until 3:30, there will be events at the headquarters house, including reenactment demonstrations of the battle at 10 and 2. The Saturday events are free and open to the public. You can learn more about the events Thursday through Saturday at washcohistoricalsociety.org. That's WASHCO historicalsociety.org.